like any other house, right?
Yes, sir.
Well, I'm sure y'all are, no problem. But we have problems. We argue, we fuss with each other, we debate over whose responsibility is what, and sometimes we can be cynical, and sometimes we can be sarcastic, and sometimes we can even slip into the area of ridicule of each other, always out of play, nothing intentionally malicious or anything like that. And so over the years, the Lord has continually challenged me to keep before my family the reality of His word and the answers to His prayers when we are seeking solutions for our household. And how do we keep peace? And how do we keep our children moving in the right direction? How do I keep my marriage grounded and my children grounded in the faith but engaged in the world? And not be afraid of what's going on out there, because we know who's in them, and not worried about who's in the world. Amen?
Amen.
And so I've learned that one spirit that continually visits our family is this spirit of antagonism. Antagonizing the daylight out of our house. And we catch it. We catch it and we talk about it. We put it on the table. You know, like, okay, so you being, so, and then, you know, you get kids that start learning this stuff and be like, you being antagonistic. You know, and so then they antagonize each other with antagonism in reality. So we do that. We have to get that and nip it in the bud, and we have to practice, and we have to pray, and we have to encourage each other. But what we realized was that antagonism, that spirit of antagonism, will make your household so hostile. And before you know it, everybody is at everybody's throats. And you can't figure out what the problem is. But it's just the devil antagonizing things, rehearsing things, causing you to rehearse things in your head, causing you to forget what God did and think about what she did. Forget what God said and think about what he said. And on and on and on. And this other thing is this whole thing with contempt. Like, it's like a spirit of contempt where I have contempt for you. And it's degrading, and it's condescending, and it devalues a person. And out of that spirit of contempt comes these words that don't build and give life. They tear down and bring death. And then there's the other one, and that's the ridicule. The ridicule, and you know, ridicule is not always with words. Sometimes ridicule is with body language. Sometimes ridicule is with a tone. Sometimes ridicule just comes with this flavor. But what it ultimately does is it focuses on the person and not specific issues. And that's not the way of the Lord. And so I realized that as I get ready to share this experiment with you, that we're going to look at something that not just harms our households, but harms us personally. And I'm going to share with you something that's very simple, but very powerful. It's a verse all of y'all have heard and probably know by heart. And it's Proverbs 18:21. And it says, death and life are what?
Power of the tongue.
And the power of the tongue, and they that love it, what? Shall eat the fruit thereof. Right? So, I'm going through and thinking about this. And so my wife then decides, she finds this video. And she like, Aaron, we need to watch this video. And so we watch the video, and the video is about words and the power of words. And Dan did this health tip before, encouraging us to use words that give life. And so we sitting up watching the video, and the video is this guy takes rice, puts it in water, and then on one vial of rice he puts good, on another vial of rice he puts bad, and has someone speak good to the rice in that vial and bad to the other one, and they carry on the experiment for some days, and they look up, and the rice that had good spoken up, it started to produce a sweet savor. A sweet aroma came out of it. And the vial that was spoken bad over, the rice started to mold and blacken. Yes. Oh, and one was ignored. And one was ignored. Right, thank you. So the one that had good words, it smelled good. The one that was ignored molded, and the one that was bad words turned black.
That's true.
Mm-hmm. So listen, me and my family, we're the type of family that, you know, I've raised my children up, you know, not to protect them from the world and all of this kind of stuff. As Christians, that's the kind of mistakes we usually make. Instead of, we engage the world, and I've taught them how to learn and to get out in the world. And how do you verify sources? Is it a reliable source? Has it been validated? Has it been confirmed? Have you checked it? Like, listen to it, read it, let them say what they got to say, but make sure that you don't just go running off with the latest trending thing on Twitter, you know, because some expert said it, because even experts can be wrong, right? So we watched this experiment. So of course, y'all know we were skeptical. So we decided, we were like, okay, let's just do it then. So I go out, get a little thing of strawberries. Take the strawberries, put two strawberries in a Ziploc, separate Ziplocs, and write bad on one and write good on the other. And I decided I would take the strawberries and, well, no, actually Pam did it. I had just put them in there. Pam found some clips and clipped them on the refrigerator. That's one of the most frequented places in our household, refrigerator. So we said, everybody make sure you make your contribution to the experiment. And I want to show you what happened in less than a week. Less than a week. Can you get, let me see if this mic works. I really want to make sure this is.
Okay, I had put the date on the strawberry when I first put it up. So we put the strawberries up on the 3rd. So by the 2nd, you can start to see the bad.
The second day,
you can start to see, you can see that the bad strawberry started to get spots and stuff on it. And then by the 3rd day, more spots. The 4th day, mold. By the 5th day, it was extreme.
Let me show
them. Okay.
Let me show them. So this is after, this is the good. This is the good one. And this is after we put this up on. We put this up on Monday. Can everybody see that? We put that up on. Was it Monday or Tuesday?
Whatever the 3rd was, I don't know what was the 3rd.
Yeah. You can look at it. So I wanted you to video this. I asked you. All right. So
we could do it again.
That's the one that we, and I mean, and this is the same day
hung in a bag with bad words. So,
same strawberry out of the same bag.
Y'all see that? Y'all see that? Hey, y'all, listen. We were humbled. So if we, I mean, this is God's word in living, mm-hmm. right, in living color. It blew my mind. We were, I mean, and I asked them after day three, we were like, man, mold is growing on the thing. And I said, were y'all skeptical? They were like, yeah, we were all skeptical. Like, and so while we have heard it said that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Just think about it, the bad words of what you have spoken over your garden. Just look at that strawberry. He's saying that's what you will be eating. Mm-hmm. That's what you will eat. Mm-hmm. Now we're going to take this a step further, y'all, because it's so much for us to think about with this. Mm-hmm. What if the words that you spoke are the words, these are the words of your household. These are the words of a relationship that you're in. I mean, let me get some instant feedback. What are your thoughts at this very moment? What are you thinking?
I start speaking positively about everything, over people especially.
You gotta speak positively. Anybody else? And I know, so we live in an age, especially Christians, you know, that positive speech and positive thinking is, you know, is look down on you. Oh, you put your mic down?
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, what it did for me, it actually took me a little deeper past what comes out of my mouth. It actually took me to my thought process. So I started thinking, you know, just struggling with some stuff and having all these bad thoughts about the person that I was struggling with, just even neighbors, just all kind of stuff, but not really speaking anything out loud, but just thinking it in my head. And then it just hit me that God said even thoughts can be sin. So if a thought can be sin, then just like that example of the bad strawberry, how much more can thoughts change our bodies and our health?
Change our health, mm-hmm. change our relationships, change our children, mm-hmm. change our hearts, change our faith. How much more can it change all of these things and affect these things? So just think real carefully about what you're saying in your relationships. Think carefully about what you're saying to the people you love. Within those few days, we were all sitting around the table, just kind of laughing and talking, and one of my children said to the other one, it was something kind of ridiculous. I said, now, what do you think is growing inside of her right now because of those words? And the response was like, ooh, I gotta be careful about what I say. See, so when it's like that, like in your face, and you're looking at it, you're walking past it on your refrigerator, it's like, man, and I mean, we all were running up to the refrigerator every day. You're not a strawberry, you're a flawberry. Nasty. Never going to be anything. And we go to the other strawberry, you're so wonderful. Your color just makes me glow inside. And I mean, it was fun. But the reality is, think about this. None of us really mad at the strawberry. But those words stick.
still had power, playing or not. Even though in our hearts, nobody's mad. Because at first, when I'm thinking about it, I'm like, man, some dude is out there laughing at us saying, man, I kept these cats talking to strawberries. That's, you know, I'm skeptical, you know. But the reality is, I'm not mad at the strawberry, and I don't love the other strawberry. But the reality is the words that we spoke totally changed the outcome of that strawberry's life. So we just think about it. What does James say? If you got your Bibles, open to the book of James. We're going to read some scriptures that have to deal with the mouth. And I know for a fact that it's not anything that you've not heard before. But if you look in the book of James, chapter 1, verse 26, he says, if any man among you seem to be religious and does not control his tongue, but deceives his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Now, what is the whole deal with deceiving your own heart? What does that have to do with if I don't bridle my tongue? Wouldn't it be a deception of our own hearts to keep telling ourselves, well, I'm just playing. Oh, I don't mean anything by that. Oh, come on. I mean, your skin is thicker than that. Come on, stop taking everything so personal. He says, man, if you don't bridle your tongue, we are deceiving our own hearts into believing that what God says is not true. What does God say? He said, do not be deceived. Whatsoever a man sows, that shall he also reap. He says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the what of it? Fruit. So he's telling us, your words are seeds. Now, I know they love that in the prosperity gospel. They love that. Speak it, claim it, name it, right? Pull it out of the air. Pull it out of the atmosphere. You got to say it. But there's an element of truth to that. That's why so many people gravitate to it. Because there's so much truth in it. Though it's for the wrong reason. What if we aligned the reason for the words that we speak with the will of God? The will of God for our own lives. The will of God for each other. The will of God for the church, the will of God for a city, the will of God for your job, the will of God for your neighbors, the will of God for your co-workers, the will of God for your enemies. What if we aligned our words with the will of God? You got your book, your Bible open to James. Turn over to chapter 3 and look at verse 4. He says, behold, verse 3, he says, we put bits in the horses' mouths that they may obey us. And we turn about their whole body. In other words, there's this 4,000-pound beast that the Bible says doesn't turn back for anything. Or run into fire. Run off the cliff. Run right into swords and shields and tanks. A horse doesn't turn back in the day of battle, it says. They're fearless. But you can put this little 2.5-ounce piece of wood in his mouth and make him turn whichever way you want to. He said, we put this little piece of wood in the horse's mouth that we may make him obey us. Behold, also, verse 4, the ships, which though they be so great and are driven of fierce winds, yet they're turned about with a very small rudder. It's just this little piece of metal on the bottom of the ship that you turn it, and it'll turn the whole ship. I mean, in comparison, the helm or this rudder, in comparison to the weight of the ship, it doesn't even matter. It's like it's not even there, but it can turn the whole ship around. It says, even so, verse 5. So the tongue is this very little thing. It boasts great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire can kindle. A tongue can start a war, but it can also end one. Mm-hmm. A tongue can start a fight, but it can end one. A tongue can cause a curse, but it can cause a blessing. A tongue can cause somebody to be sick, but it can heal. This little thing, this little tongue is what God has shown us through words that let there be light. Let there be a firmament. Let the earth bring forth. Let us create. It commissions, blesses, empowers, brings forth, destroys enemies. Thus saith the Lord. Right? You better watch out. Because his word will not return to him what?
Void.
Whatsoever he hath said, so shall it be. But you know what I found out? Jesus said something very similar to that. In Mark chapter 11, verse 23. Listen to what the words of Jesus Christ says about words. So we don't think that this is just the Old Testament thing that someone is trying to make a New Testament reality out of. Jesus says in Mark chapter 11, verse 23, he says, "For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he has said shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he says." Sometimes we speak into situations the exact opposite of what we want and get mad when we get it. I see parents do it. You tell your kids they ain't gonna do nothing, they don't do nothing, then you get mad at them with whatsoever you say. You tell your kids you ain't gonna, and then they don't, and then you get mad at them. Whatsoever you say. You tell your spouse, "Oh, I know what you're gonna do. You're just going to mess this whole thing up." And then they mess the whole thing up, and then you get mad. Whatsoever you say. We speak over our city. Me and Pam, when we first got back here, we were blown away by the negative talk about the city of Kankakee and how people expected something different than what they said. It's like you are talking about your leaders, and then you want your child to be a leader. Believe me, if you're talking about the leaders, and then you want your kid to be a leader, trust me, they're saying, "No, I want to join that group. All y'all do is crucify us. Why would I want to be a leader?" And then everybody mad because the kids won't lead. And all you do is destroy the leaders with your mouth. Talk about the churches. Talk about the pastors. Talk about the preachers. Talk about the teachers. You talk about the elders. Talk about old people. You talk about young people. And then you want something to be different. You got a vision in your head, but the words that's coming out of your mouth completely contradict what's coming out of your mouth. And we could call that close to, if you know these things, wouldn't that be close to insane? I didn't make that up. I heard somebody else say, if you keep doing the same thing expecting something different, that's what? I said, that's insane. We'll sit up in our churches and talk about our churches. We'll talk about the people, the choir, talk about them. They're trying, they're struggling. You just talk about it. You see that you got deacons and elders who are trying to lead and pray and do the right thing, but they don't have everything together, but you just talk about it. Somehow we think all our churches in Kankakee have these ill intentions. That none of these men and women of God could possibly have curses spoken over them. And they don't need the church to perpetuate the curse by continually destroying them with their words, but to pray for them. We already got somebody praying against them. They need somebody praying for them. Right? That's how we would align our words with the Word of God. I tell you, one thing I heard this week that's really got me thinking is you can think something that you didn't say. But you can never say something that you didn't think. And this goes back to what Pam, I'm going to say that one more time. You can say something. You can think something that you didn't say. But you can never say something that you didn't think. And this goes back to where we are. What does it say? Guard. What does it say? Guard your heart. But out of it are what? Issues of life. Some of us want to serve God and want to be different. I don't want to be angry. That's what's in your head. But then you turn around and say, I always get angry. Yeah, I always have these ideas, but I never follow through. Yeah, God speaks to me, but I just never do what he says do. Whatever you say. And sometimes it's not exactly just what's coming out of our mouth. It's actually what's filling up our hearts. Is your heart filled with the words and the wisdom of God? Because Jesus said, if you still got your Bible open, turn to Matthew chapter 12. Listen to what Jesus says. This is Jesus. And so we know that his words are spirit and they are
truth,
life and truth and all of that, right? Well, here's what he says in chapter 12, verse 33. He says, either make the tree good and his fruit good, or else make the tree corrupt and his fruit corrupt, for the tree is known by its fruit. Listen to what he says in verse 34. He says, O generation of vipers, how can you, being evil, speak good things? For out of the abundance of the heart, the what? The mouth speaks. I know you probably heard me tell you this story before, but there was a kid that I was working with and just really on fire for the Lord. And I was so encouraged because just wanted to be around, like, man, if you're serving food, I want to serve food. If you're cleaning up, I want to clean up with you. Whatever you're doing, I want to hang with you. Cool. And so we hanging, and so we were doing something, and I forget what happened, but it was a little mishap. And he cussed. And so he looked at me, like, I just cussed. Am I going to hell? I'm like, I couldn't help but laugh, you know. And I said, so what's that all about? He said, slipped. I said, slipped, huh? I said, really? So at the time, we were at the City Life Center, and we were behind the kitchen area and the bar area. So I grabbed a tumbler, and I turned on the water, and I know you're looking at me like, you getting ready to baptize me with this glass of water, or douse me or something. Like, so I filled the water all the way up to the brim. I mean, all the way up to the brim, and I slowly handed it to him. I said, hold it. I said, don't let nothing spill. And so he grabbed it. I said, okay. I said, you got it? Yeah. and then I pushed them. And water came out. I say, you spilled water. He said, well, you pushed me. I said, well, wait a minute. I had an empty tumbler. He had a tumbler in his hand, it was empty. I pushed him. I said, you didn't spill water. He said, well, there's no water in the cup. I said, so why did water come out of the tumbler? He said, well, it's full. I mean, it was full of water. How am I not supposed to? I said, so you telling me that that cuss word came out of your mouth because your heart is empty? He said, no, it didn't slip. Your heart's full. It's full of that cursing. And so we couldn't laugh that off. We had to pray because it was like, well, where's all this stuff coming from? Where's all this cursing coming from me? And I'm like, well, let me see your playlist. Yeah, eyes got big as a deer in the headlight. Like, I don't want you to see my playlist. And that's just one real-time example, y'all, of what Jesus is saying. Doubt, fear, cursing, bitterness, degradation, hopelessness, despair. It only comes out of your mouth if your heart is full of it. But what does the word tell us about the word of God? It says our heart changes. He says, be ye renewed by what?
Renewing of your mind.
By the renewing of your mind. You want to be transformed, you gotta renew your mind by the washing and regeneration of the word, is what the Bible says. The word of God will wash and regenerate and cleanse and bring life into your heart. And then, because you are guarding your heart from the mess that's out there, and you're putting the word of God in there, and this is not just simply practical, simply, you know, this is what we do to be religious. This is miraculous. This is the miraculous work of God through his word. If you want the issues in your life to reflect his will, you got to fill your heart with it. If you want your responses to him to be in obedience and according with his will, you got to fill your heart with his goodness. If you're struggling with letting go of sin, what does it say causes us to repent?
The goodness of God.
The goodness of God. How are you going to repent if all you're thinking about is your badness? I know that seems so spiritual and so humble to just mull over what you keep struggling with and why you're not doing anything and how you need to change and it's not going to change your heart. What causes our hearts to change is the knowledge of the Holy. The knowledge of the goodness of God. And that in itself is a miracle. It's a miracle. It is a miracle. And many times we reject that because it's not calculable. It you can't determine when and how and all of that stuff. It doesn't make sense to the natural mind. But it says the things of God knows no man but the Spirit of God which is in him. And so as long as we keep just knowing the things of man, we're going to keep doing the things of man. Just think about it. If Satan was rebuked operating in Peter, when was Jesus prompted to rebuke Satan? Wasn't it after Peter opened his mouth and said something? Where did those words come from? The devil. Remember when Ananias and Sapphira? Remember when they were drop dead on the spot. Because they lied. And who did Paul say had put that lie in their heart? Satan. Satan had filled, and he didn't just say, Satan tempted you to lie. He said, Satan had filled your heart. Caused you to lie. Filled it. This is good news if you struggle. This is good news if you feel like you can't get past the feeling. This is good news if you can't. If you feel like you're at your wit's end as to how you're going to change a situation or a relationship or the state of your own mind or heart. Because you haven't done it yet, right? But what does the word of the Lord say? Whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things true, whatsoever things pure, whatsoever things are worthy of praise, if it's a good report. He said, think on these things. Think about the goodness of God. Think about what you really deserve and why you're not going to get it. Think about your blatant disrespect for God, but He forgives. See, if we think about what we've done to God versus what somebody's done to us, we won't be wanting so much vengeance on other people when we realize that God's not going to take vengeance on us. But He's actually going to show grace and mercy to forgive us. The devil wants to speak these words in our lives and cause mold to grow over our calling, to grow over your faith, to grow into your relationships, to grow into your children. Man, if y'all only knew how many times the enemy has tempted me to speak based on what I see. To speak into my wife's life based on what I see or based on what I hear. To speak into my children's lives based on what I see. But I know that if I do that, if I speak into my marriage, those words are powerful. If I speak into my children's lives, those words are powerful. I'll tell you, when I got a hold of this, I can go all the way back to Micaiah. I was talking to Micaiah in the womb. I was speaking sweet nothings over her life in the womb. Every one of my children, I was talking to them in the womb. I laying hands on them and loving on them and telling them who they are in the womb. And I tell you, the war becomes when they grow up and it's not cute for them to have mustard all over their face anymore. You know, and it's not cute that they made this big mess anymore. When they start getting older, it's not cute. As they start this, you know, it's no longer discovery. Now it's more like a lack of discipline. And your tone and your demeanor and all of that can start to change. And you can forget how powerful your words can be in those situations. You can mess around and say the wrong thing and never figure out why your child is struggling. Mess around and say the wrong thing at the wrong time and never figure out why your marriage is hurting so bad. You can mess around and get to a point in your life and can't figure out why things don't seem to change. I want to encourage you today to take the word of God up as a sword in the spirit. Think about how you're responding to situations. Is it with the word? And I know, you know, you got some people that take that to an extreme and you can't even have a conversation because they're quoting the scripture to you, you know, so we can't really talk about anything. But I'm saying, not to that extreme, but I'm saying, are you responding in your heart and with your words to your situations, to people, based on what thus says the Lord? When's the last time you told somebody,
I forgive you. When was the last time you asked somebody, will you forgive me? When was the last time you said, I'm sorry? When was the last time you said, I'm wrong? When was the last time you told somebody, I love you? What if all of our words are very negative and faithless instead of faith-filled in our homes and our marriages, to our children, to each other, about ourselves? About ourselves. Do you believe you are the call of God? Do you believe you are? No, when was the last time you said, I'm blessed? Or are you waiting on what the world tells you is a blessing? When was the last time you said, I'm anointed? When was the last time you said, I got everything I need? You see how it makes a difference? What if we looked at those two strawberries and said, I'm not going to eat that strawberry. And I'm not going to produce those strawberries. I'm going to be the one that has life. I said, man, what if we took this to a whole other level? We spoke so many words that that good-looking strawberry turned into two strawberries. Because let me tell you, sometimes the Clark House boy, that one that just grew mold, it's like, man, that thing catch on fire. We go. But the devil is the source of all of these lies, y'all. Some of us are not just suffering presently from words that have been spoken to us. Some of us have had words spoken to us when we were high. The kids. Might have been an uncle. Your older cousin. A teacher. Coach. Somebody says something to you about you and it didn't line up with the will of God for your life. And it could have struck you in a way at that time that you don't even realize unless you look back and say, Lord, are there words spoken over me that are hindering me today? And I'm going to tell you like this. Some of you may go back to your mama, and you may go back to your dad, and you may go back to that uncle or auntie, but where did I say they all come from? Nobody but the devil that's been hating you all your life. Don't blame it on your mama. Jesus didn't blame it on Peter, did he? When Peter spoke over Jesus' life, something that wasn't aligned with the will of God for his life, he didn't say, Peter, shut up. He said, Satan, I rebuke you. Now don't go do that to your mom. Don't do that. But I'm saying to you, no. That it's only one person that really does not want you to walk in the anointing, to walk in your calling, to believe and to speak and profess and confess that God is with me always. God's going to take care of this. God's going to help us. We're going to get out of this. I remember, I got to tell you this one story. I used to be a drunk. And, like the kind of drunk that, boy, I drove tires off the rim, driving around town on rims. And I remember that I went and sat down with my pastor. I'm fighting, I'm trying to get out of this. I want to change so bad. I'm tired of waking up not knowing where my car is or where I am or, you know, just wondering how I got home, you know, that kind of thing. Hopefully you don't know that kind of thing, but somebody here, because they know what I'm talking about. And so I sit down with my pastor, and he just, you know, he was the kind of guy, he would just sit and just look at you. And just let you talk and talk and talk. And I could talk, you know. I talked and talked and talked and talked. And I guess after about 30 minutes of me just going on and on and on about, you know, everything and everybody, my woe is me story. He said, Aaron, he said, you really only have one problem. Like, one, I just named about 48,000.
You're going to reduce all my problems to one? I don't like you no more. He said, yeah, you got one problem. He said, everything you're saying about yourself and your situations, he said, all that's based on your feelings. He said, he stuck a Bible out in front of me and he said, it's not coming out of here. And in one of the most sternest, harshest ways, he looked at me like gritting his teeth and said, get in this word. And if the word doesn't say it about you, don't you say it either. And from that point forward, I learned that I had to know what God's word said about me. Because really, I didn't know at that time. So I started finding scriptures like, you are a new creature. You are created again, Christ Jesus. You are forgiven. That as far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed your sins. He's thrown your sins into the sea of forgiveness. He'll be with you. He'll never leave you. He'll comfort you. He'll give you the words, even though that word on the tip of your tongue might crush somebody. Wait. Zip it. Wait. Oh, God bless you. And I remember running with that as a drunk. We talk about miraculous, right? Show you how miraculous these words are. I remember one time I was laying on the bed in my room. Me and Pam were, I think that was right after we had separated for about 8 months. No, it wasn't. It was before that. So anyway, I'm laying on the bed. Me and Pam separated about 25 years ago. Just so y'all. So I'm laying on the bed. I'm drunk. The room is spinning. And so I put my leg off the side of the bed so it won't keep spinning around, so I won't throw up. And I'm literally feeling so defeated because I felt like here I am again. I'm in the place that I despise being because I'm woke now. It's not fun anymore. I have become a slave to sin, believing in forgiveness. But I didn't know that the missing component is my mouth wasn't matching my faith. And my faith couldn't come out because I wasn't filling my heart up with it. So in this moment, I'm laying there feeling defeated, and I say, Pam comes in, she's just a little upset, Pam. She mad as, and she says, I don't remember what she said to me, but it wasn't good. And that was the first time that I actually said, I'm changing. I am not going to live my life this way. God is going to help me. And he did. And I can't tell you how that happened, but I can tell you I'm not the same person. You know what I'm saying? So I don't know how this is affecting you. I don't know what situation in your life could use some faith-filling words. I don't know what area in your heart could use some faith-filling words. I don't know what sin or what habit you're dealing with that could use you speaking faith over it instead of succumbing to it and speaking something that doesn't line up with the power and authority of God over your life. I don't know how you have been deceived into, as I have, speaking something out of a false humility instead of speaking something out of a faith-filled context. But I'm going to tell you like this. Stop it. Stop speaking the negative words. Stop putting yourself in a place that Jesus didn't die for you to be. Stop confessing that you can't when God says you can do all things. Stop saying that you ain't going to make it when he says, I will keep you and preserve you and present you to myself. Amen. Let's speak the life of the Word of God into our homes, into our relationships, to each other, to our city, to our government officials. Let's stop joining on the bandwagons of all this negative talk and be who the people of God are supposed to be. And let's watch what God does. I promise you, in this experiment that I did, it has been awakening for me, because I have realized just how subtle the enemy can lure you into a corner and pummel you into submission through all that bad thinking.